Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited you tuned into our Damaged Goods series, where Pastor Mike speaks on how to respond when life happens. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
We are going into our final installment of our Damaged Goods sermon series. How many of y'all have been blessed by the Damaged Goods sermon series so far? Pastor Michael has done a phenomenal job of convicting and encouraging us through this sermon series. And as we peel off the layers of the damaged areas that we have in life, today I'm going to be talking about the final thing that I believe is an area that we all have a damaged area in and that God wants to heal. And so this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about the unfair things that we experience in life. Those things that kind of gut punch you, those things that you didn't expect, the things that you don't even feel like you deserved. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that. But before we go there, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this morning, Lord God. I thank you for every single person in this place today, Lord God. I thank you for wording my mouth, Lord. Whatever it is that you want to say this morning, say it through me, God. Open up hearts and minds to hear from you this morning. And even as Pastor Michael is away and teaching at the Church of Battle Creek, Lord, we lift him up to you, God. And we thank you right now, Lord, whatever he says, Lord God, that it will fall on a good soil, Lord God. Open minds and open hearts to hear what you're saying as you heal the racial tension even in our city today, Lord God. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to be talking to you guys about the unfair things that happen in life. How many of all have had something that you feel like was unfair that has happened to you in your life before? Okay. Things that you just don't deserve. Things that they just came out of nowhere. You weren't ready for. You wasn't expecting. There are certain things that have happened in my life that felt like they were unfair. But what I'm realizing is that there are some good things that can come from those unfair situations. And so this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. My point that I want to start with is something that a lot of parents say to their kids. If you have children in here, you probably said it once or twice to your child. When your child comes to you and says, "Mom or Dad, I want this." And you say, "No, you're not getting that. I'm not going to pay that for you. I'm not going to buy that. You got the groceries. We got bills out here. We're not going to do that." And then they say, "Well, that's not fair." And oftentimes, my parents have said it to me. God bless you. Y'all have probably said it to your kids before. Life is not fair. Point number one, life is not fair. And now I'm not trying to start us off on a depressing point. I want y'all to know that, okay? But until we get this reality in our minds, we're always going to be shocked and appalled when something doesn't go our way. The truth is, God never promised us that life would be fair. As a matter of fact, Jesus promised us the exact opposite of that, that we will go through trials and tribulations in this world. So life is not fair. That's our first point today and where we're gonna start off with. There's many different examples of life not being fair, right? How about you and your husband decide we're gonna lose some weight together. We're gonna get on a diet. Y'all eating the same foods, drinking the same amount of water at the same gym with the same trainer. And for some reason, his weight is dropping like that. And yours is saying, "No, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere." Your weight is just holding on, right? It's unfair. It's unfair when you help out a cousin or somebody who needs some money. They in trouble. They need some help. You lend them something, lend them some money. And then 3 years down the line, you're still looking for that money. It has not returned. You have not gotten a return on your investment yet. It's just not fair. I personally feel like God, you know, he played me a little bit, and I'm gonna explain what I'm gonna say, okay? My eyebrows, okay? God knew that I would be born in such a time as this, when eyebrows must be on fleek. And for some reason, when I was born, he said, "Let's just give her just a couple of strands over each eye." So I'm up here with 80% pencil and 20% hair. You see what I'm saying? It's not right. I feel like it's women out here that got extra hair. They getting it tweezed and threaded and all that. And I'm up here struggling. It's just not fair. It's just, he played me. I don't know. It's my thorn in my side. I don't know. Sometimes I'll be up here with an eyebrow up and an eyebrow down. I don't mean it. Okay. Life is just not fair. And even though those are some funny examples of how life is not fair, we've experienced some deep and hurtful ways in which life is not fair. Like when you give your heart away to somebody and they mistreat you. Like when you give birth to a child and then you have to bury that child. It's unfair. How about you put all your blood, sweat, and tears into starting a business and it's just not kicking off the way that you want it to? It just doesn't seem fair. Well, this morning, I want to share with you some things that can come from the unfair situations in our lives. Over the past 2 years, I've been walking out my own healing process of some things that happened unfairly in my life. And what I realize is this is point number two. Unfair situations can produce fruit. And this is the kicker here, okay? I believe that God is more interested in our lives being fruitful than our lives being fair. And the truth is, some of the fruit that's produced in our lives would not be produced had we not gone through unfair situations. So this morning, my goal is this. My goal is to change someone's perspective, for you to allow the Holy Spirit to change your perspective. That instead of running from, avoiding, being upset with, and frustrated with the unfair situations in your life, that one day you can look at those unfair situations and say, thank you. Thank you, because you produced something in me that had I not gone through you, I would never have in my life today. And so let's look at a scripture, Romans 5, 3 through 5. This is one of those scriptures that's hard to take when you're going through an unfair situation. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So basically what that scripture is saying is unfair things are going to happen. And if you change your perspective on it, you'll be able to say thank you because they're going to produce endurance, character, confident hope in you. And those things will only be produced in you when you go through something that's unfair. So this morning, we're going to get to a point where at by the end of this and that eventually your perspective and my perspective will be changed so much that we can look at our unfair situations and be grateful for them because of what they produced in us. A good example of this just in the natural is oftentimes manure, and we know what manure is. Y'all know what manure is, right? Okay. The boo-boo. Okay. Manure oftentimes can be used to actually be used to grow fruit. And so basically what we're saying today is this. God can take the crap in your life, the manure in your life, the things you don't want to deal with, the things that stink, that suck, that you hate happen to you, but put with the right soil or a good perspective, he can actually produce some fruit in you that not only you will eat off of, but everybody else can eat off of too. That's what he can do. Our God specializes in making good out of bad. That's like his thing. Like he's good at that. He's a professional at it, okay? So this morning, we're going to talk about the certain fruits that can come from unfair situations. And what the last thing I want to say before we go into those fruits is that point number three, the fruit that we get from unfair situations is what I'm calling today the fair of unfair. The fair of unfair, the F-A-I-R of unfair. And what I'm going to do is we're going to go through four different things. Now, there are many things that can come from and be produced in you from unfair situations, but we're just going to talk about four of those things this morning. So what's the first thing that can be produced in you from an unfair situation? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the first thing that can be produced in you. This is the crazy thing about forgiveness. I really believe that you're never more like Christ than when you can forgive somebody. When you can forgive somebody that did you wrong, you're never more like Christ, right? Everybody in here has been wronged by somebody in your life before. And to actually let go and allow that offense to be freed from that offense, you're never more like Christ. We know Christ is a servant. He's compassionate. He did miracles, wonderful things that Christ did on this earth. And those really are Christ-like behavior. But to be able to look someone square in the eye that did you wrong and forgive them, we've only seen Jesus do that, okay? So you're never more like Christ than when you can forgive. There's a person in the Bible that did something very similar to what Jesus did on the cross, and his name was Stephen. Stephen was a man In the book of Acts, Stephen was a man that the Bible described as full of the Holy Spirit. Now, Stephen was going around. He was saying the truth of God's word to many people. He was just going out and trying to help people really get the gospel. But people got mad because Stephen was telling the truth and it wasn't lining up with their lives. So what they said is, we're going to go and lie on Stephen. Lied on Stephen, said he's out here blaspheming the name of God. The council arrested him. He went before the council, told the same truth that he'd been telling, made the council mad. And what they do is, like toddlers, put their hands over their ears, started screaming, rushed at Stephen, pulled him out of the city and began to stone him. Now, I'm not for sure if anyone in here has ever been stoned before, but stoning is when you stand in the middle of a circle of people and they throw rocks at you until you die. That is a slow death, okay? We don't know if they're pebbles. We don't know if they're big stones. Whatever they were throwing at him, they were throwing at him. And while they were throwing those rocks at Stephen, Stephen says something spectacular. In Acts 7 and 59, it says, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. Now, when I read this scripture, I was encouraged and frustrated at the same time because Stephen is given, he's a regular human being. Stephen's not Jesus, right? He's just a regular human being out here trying to live right for the Lord. And when they started stoning him, Stephen was able to forgive his murderers while they were murdering him. While they stoned him, while they threw rocks at him, while they lied on him, he was able in that instant to forgive them. Who do you need to forgive? How long have you been holding on to it? Stephen is a prime example that every single one of us, every single believer can forgive. And the reason that we can forgive is because we have the forgiver living on the inside of us. If he can do it, then we can do it. Whatever he can do, we can do, right? So if he's living on the inside of us, we have that power. Now, my issue is that a lot of times we don't know what the definition of forgiveness really is. Forgiveness is not telling our offender that what they did was okay. It's not giving you a thumbs up. Yeah, hurt me like that. Yeah, that was good. No, that's not what forgiveness is. And a lot of times it's hard for us to forgive because we feel like we're letting that person off the hook when we do forgive them. Forgiveness is not reconciling the relationship with your offender. Just because you were friends at one point don't mean you got to be friends again. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Now, I know we talk about forgive and forget all the time in the church, but we're not robots. We can't go back to a part of our life and hit delete on that mug. We're going to remember. Even though you remember, forgiveness is not forgetting, but forgiveness is not bringing it back up. Forgiveness is letting it go. Forgiveness is a decision. It's saying that today I decide that I want to forgive. Forgiveness could be, today I decide that I want to forgive. You ain't got the feeling. I mean, forgiveness ain't going to just come natural, okay? You got to want to do it. And sometimes you don't want to do it, but you want to do it. It's the truth. That's how forgiveness starts. It's a decision. But forgiveness is also a process. Forgiveness is not one decision I make. One day I make the decision and today I went ahead and let go of every single thing. Now, you may be able to do that, but it's okay if forgiveness is a process for you. When people get in a wreck and they break their collarbone and they break a leg and they're in the hospital, we don't go up to them and say, girl, shake it off. You fine. Keep on moving. You okay. Keep going. We don't do that, right? Emotionally, we can't do that either. If you've been hurt by something, you need a healing process just like you was in the hospital physically. You need a healing process. This is the thing about forgiveness. It's better for forgiveness to be real than forgiveness to be rushed. I want it to be deep. I want to really mean it when I say it. I want to really let it go. I don't want to say I let it go and then I see you at the store and I'm ready to fight all of a sudden again. OK, okay? Forgiveness, we want it to be real and not rushed. So that's the first thing that comes from an unfair situation. You never know how to forgive until you've been wronged. You never even tap into that part of your character inside of you until you've been wronged. We don't know how to forgive unless we have to. So after forgiveness, what's another thing that God can produce in us, a fruit that God can produce in us from an unfair situation? I believe the A is for authenticity. When an unfair situation happens to us, we have the choice of putting on a mask and acting like we're fine or being authentic and letting others know that we're hurt by that. So authenticity is something that can be produced in us because of an unfair situation. A person that we're going to look at in the Bible is Hannah. And 1 Samuel 1:9, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, but this is a story about Hannah. Hannah was a good woman. She was just a good woman out here trying to have a baby for her husband. Now, back in the day, polygamy was okay, so her husband had another wife. She had a sister wife, and her name was Penina. Now, Penina, I wouldn't necessarily describe her as a good woman. You see what I'm saying? Penina was out here teasing Hannah because she couldn't have a baby. Now, that is not right. Penina just dropping kids left and right and then teasing Hannah because she can't have no kids. It's not right. So it's unfair, right? Hannah had a moment with God where she got authentic. So let's look at 1 Samuel. And it says, in 1 Samuel 1:9-18, it says, "So Hannah ate. Then she pulled herself together and slipped away quietly and entered the sanctuary." Now, hold on, pause 1 second right there. In my mind, so Hannah ate, then she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly and entered the sanctuary. This is how I feel happened, okay? Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to cry, but it just wasn't the time or the place? So you had to hold it together till you got to the time and the place, and you was like, until you got to the place you wanted to get to actually bawl. Like, that's what Hannah did. Hannah was at dinner. She was sitting there with Penina and her nasty self and everybody else at the table. And she was teasing her, and Hannah couldn't hold it no more. She's like, until she could get to a place where she could actually let out her emotions. So she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly, and entered into the sanctuary. The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple in the customary seat. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. Then she made a vow. "O God of angels' armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline." It so happened that while she continued to pray before God, Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Eli jumped to conclusions. This is Message Bible, y'all can tell, right? Eli jumped to conclusions that she was drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman." Hannah said, "Oh, no, sir, please. I am a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God. Don't think for a moment I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here so long." Now, this is what I love about the scripture that Hannah, this passage of scripture is about Hannah. Hannah, it says that she cried and cried inconsolably. Now, y'all know what the ugly cry is, right? That cry, that's the cry that Hannah had. It wasn't a cry where she was just wiping the corners of her eyes so can't nobody see her in worship crying or nothing like that. She was crying inconsolably. She was so hurt by what had happened and what the unfairness that she was going through. She didn't know what to do other than be real with God. When unfair situations come to us, they present us with an opportunity to be authentic, not only with God, but the people around us. Hannah went to God and she said to him, "If you stop neglecting me, if you just look at, take a good hard look at my pain, then maybe you'll give me a son." She was real with God. Now, in the world that we live in, with social media and all that stuff, authenticity is something that is really hard to find. Now, ain't nobody getting up out of bed, taking a picture of themselves with crust in their eyes. Got the eye boogers. It's a little drool on the side of you. You looking like Don King. You ain't putting that on social media. Okay, that's the real, real. We're going to, you know, put some makeup on or whatever. Fill my eyebrows in. I'm not going out with my eyebrows filled in, y'all. Okay? So authenticity is something that we don't easily come by. The world and the society that we lived in either says, put on a mask and act like everything's okay, or go out here and act like everything is fine. When everybody asks you how you doing, say good. Don't give them any more information than that. They could use it against you. They could look at you differently. Authenticity is hard to find in our world. But the only way that we can have a real relationship with God is if we're real. God can't heal anything that we don't surrender. If we're not honest about what we need healing in, he can't touch it. He's a gentleman. You are the one that opened up the door to God being able to heal you. And the only way that happens is to be authentic with God. Hannah was not only authentic with God, she was authentic with the people that God put around her. So when Eli came out and accused her of being drunk, she could have put up her walls right there. She could have been like, no, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm good. Do you, boo-boo. I'm good. She could have did that. But instead, she told him, I'm a woman hard used. I am not out here pouring up the drinks. I'm out here pouring out my heart to the Lord. That's what she's having, an authentic moment. Who is on your home team? Who is your safe place? Who's your village? Because if you can't be authentic with those people, then healing can't come to your door. The Bible tells us that we're healed by opening up and letting others know what our problems are. And so when we get authentic with God, and then we get authentic with the people around us, that's when we know we're opening up our door for healing. We all have damaged areas, right? The only way that we can get them healed is through God. And the only way we get them healed through God is when we're real about them. Covering up and acting like we don't got them, you ain't gonna do nothing but slowly leak out. Whatever we don't get, we don't surrender to God, we slowly leak out everywhere else. People are like, what's wrong with them? Because they ain't took that to God. You out here snapping on people for no reason, mad in traffic and stuff, but it's really, you just gotta give some things to God. You're gonna slowly leak wherever you go until you surrender whatever it is to God. So authenticity is something that comes from unfair situations. The next thing that comes from unfair situations is identity. When you go through an unfair situation, it looks you dead in the eye and asks, who are you? Who are you? Yeah, I know he left you, but who are you? Yeah, I know the kids is acting a fool, but who are you? Yeah, I know your bank account is super low right now, but who are you? Unfair situations come to ask us, do you know who you are? Even if life is not going the way that you want it to go, do you still know that you're called? Do you still know that you're enough? Do you still know that you're loved? And oftentimes, we think we know until that thing comes slap us in the face. And then it's like, oh, shoot, am I really called? Am I really supposed to do this? Did God really say he loves me? Is God really good? All of those things, we start to question because that unfair situation is going against those plans that we already made in our head. So there's a person in the Bible by the name of Ruth. She got her own book. Go girl, girl power. She out here with her book in the Bible, okay? Ruth was a woman that went through an unfair situation. She married a wonderful man and married into a wonderful family. And in that family, she was introduced to the true and living God, something that Ruth didn't have in her homeland and in her family. But she was introduced to that. Well, in a short amount of time, her father-in-law, her brother-in-law, and her husband all passed away. Unfair. All the men that taught you who God really is, now gone. It's an unfair situation. Now, Ruth had the opportunity because her mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, I'm going to go back to my homeland. You stay here and do you. Find you a man. Get remarried, all that stuff or whatever. And I'm going to go ahead and go. Well, Ruth is saying to her, no, you won't leave me. And the reason that Ruth doesn't want Naomi to leave her is because Ruth found out who she really was. Ruth got introduced to her real identity from her in-laws. And so in Ruth 1 and 16, it says, When Naomi tried to go away from Ruth, Ruth replied and said, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." The most valuable thing that you can lose from an unfair situation is your identity. It's the most precious treasure that God has given us, is to know who we are in God. And when unfair situations come, they come and challenge that. They come and challenge you to say, do you really believe that this is who God said you are? And the most valuable thing we can give away is knowing who we are in God. Unfair situations, when they come and I'm able to look that thing square in the eye and say, this is who I am in God, regardless of what you're telling me right now, that drops the anchor of my identity just a little bit lower. That drops that anchor of knowing who I am in God just a little bit lower, because I realize that the situation doesn't get to define me. How other people treat me doesn't get to define me. Instead, I'm defined by the word of God and what God says about me in the word of God. That's who I really am. Unfair situations will come and try to slap a name tag on you, tell you you're somebody different. But it's up to us to decide, no, 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 no. I see what you're trying to say, but that's not me. I'm not a bad mother because my kids go on and do what they want to do. I'm not a bad husband because my wife decided to go somewhere else. I'm not a bad business person and not called to business because my business isn't doing well right now. We have to make that decision. And unfair situations come to drop that anchor just a little bit lower. Who are you? Who do you believe you are? Have you allowed the things of your past to define you? Have you allowed them to identify who you are, ignoring the truth of God's word? That's why we have to stay in God's word. That's why we have to have a daily devotional life. That's why we have to keep that word coming and coming and coming no matter what, because it tells us who we really are. It tells us the truth. Unfair situations lie to us. So identity is something that we get from unfair situations. Now, the last thing, the last and final fruit that we get from unfair situations, I struggle with because it's the letter R and there's so many R words out there, okay? What am I supposed to do, Lord? I thought about redemption. You know, David, Saul tried to kill David. He was redeemed. I thought about restoration. Job went through tons of unfair situations. None of us can even imagine going through. And at the end of his second life, it was better than the first part of his life, restoration. But I really felt like God wanted me to pinpoint relationship. Relationship with God. Unfair situations come and they ask you this question. Is he real? Do you really believe that he's real? Because I heard you sing the songs. He's a good, good father. Is he good? I heard you quote the scriptures. I heard you tell that girl the other day how good God is. But now that this situation is knocking on your door, do you still believe it? Do you still believe that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all powerful, all knowing, Jehovah Jireh, your provider? Do you really believe it? Because the truth is, you don't know God as a provider until you're broke. You don't know God as healer until you're hurt. This is the moments in life where we get to make a definitive statement of how real our God is. It's unfair situations that come and try to say to you, do you really believe that he's real? If you believe that he's real, are you going to stick with him through this? Are you going to hold on to him for dear life? I'll never forget, a couple years ago, I was going through something and it was a struggle. And I literally had a hard time. I listened to that song, Good, Good Father. I had a hard time saying those words. I had a hard time saying, God, you're good. Because the unfair situation I was walking out wasn't good at all. And I mean, it was a struggle. Now, before then, life was grand. Okay? Good, good father everywhere. I sing it in the grocery store. I was having a hard time in my quiet time with God telling him that he's good. Because that situation was so bad. was so bad. I couldn't, all the years of knowing who God was, it questioned all those years. And unfair situations come and do that. They question all that time that you've been singing those songs, reading those scriptures, spending that time with God, coming to church, going to a B group. It questions all of that. Is he real? I'll never forget. I was talking to my mom just the other day, and she said to me, she said, girl, with the things that I've been through in life, can't nobody tell me God ain't real. Can't nobody tell me God ain't real. The unfair situation is not meant to kill you. It's meant to solidify your relationship with God. In the Bible, there are three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, I'm just kidding. Abednego. Y'all know that's just trifling. But anyways. And they were good, righteous, holy men trying to do right, trying to live right for the Lord. And King Nebuchadnezzar got upset. He wanted them to bow to him. They said no. King Neb got mad. He said, throw them in the fire. They got to go in the fire. Now, thank God, punishment nowadays is not like what it was back in the day, okay? The fire was so hot that the people that threw them in the fire died. That's how hot the fire was, okay? So they got thrown into this fire. Well, eventually, King Neb looks back at the fire and he says, now, didn't we throw three people in that fire? It looks like there's four people in that fire now. And this is what I come to believe. Those three Hebrew boys, they worship God with their lives and with their character, with their words and with their actions. But Jesus didn't become real until they got in that fire. When they got thrown in that fire, that fourth person in there was Jesus Christ. That's when Jesus got real. Jesus gets real to us. He becomes real. The relationship with him becomes real when we get thrown in the fires of life. It's the fire that makes him real. It's not just the good times. Everybody loves the good times. But it's those bad times, those hard times, those hurtful times, those painful times that you realize God is real. And he is for me. And he really will never leave me nor forsake me. But you don't know that till you get thrown in the fire like three Hebrew boys. Relationship. This is your opportunity. It seems like unfair situations come to take us out. But I promise you that God can use those unfair situations for you to walk into a whole nother level of relationship with him. I know that after years of being saved and believing in Jesus Christ, it was the unfair situations in my life that made me fall madly in love with him. I thought I was in love. But it wasn't until we walked through some fires together that I really realized I was in love with him and that he loved me. But it's the unfair situations that put those right in our face. So this morning, as we talk about unfair situations, there was a person that went through a really, really unfair day. His name is Jesus. The day of crucifixion was the best of days and the worst of days. It was the best of days because it provided salvation for all of us. But it was the worst of days because he was bruised and beaten. He was spit on and laughed at. He was ridiculed in front of millions of thousands of people. Jesus had a really bad day. And on that day, he said seven things on the cross. And I believe that he was showing us that there's fair and unfair. The first thing he said was forgiveness. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Authenticity. On that cross, Jesus said, Father, you have forsaken me. He had a real moment on the cross. He didn't hold that in because everybody was around. I don't want them to know I'm going through up here. He didn't do that. He had a real moment on the cross. Not only did he have a real moment with God on the cross, he said, I'm thirsty on the cross. He had a real moment with everybody around him. Jesus was authentic. Identity. Jesus on the cross said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. In other words, I'm on this cross and they telling me I'm not the Son of God, but I know I am, so I can promise you, you'll be in paradise with me today. Identity. Never question his identity. And the last and final thing that Jesus said on the cross is, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In other words, God, I trust you. He didn't say the last thing to his mama to the disciples, to the guards, to the angels, his very last statement was to the realest relationship that he had on this earth, to his Father. I believe that there's somebody in here today that's walking out in an unfair situation. Something that you didn't deserve, something that hurts, something that was a gut punch. You were not expecting it at all. And in this series, this Damaged Goods series, we realize that we're all damaged in some areas. But what I also want you to realize is we're also good. We're damaged goods. God, even though we've been through some tough stuff and we'll still go through some tough stuff, he specializes in taking the good, the bad, and the ugly, melting it together and making something beautiful out of it. He specializes in making good out of bad. So those unfair situations, don't try to avoid them. Don't try to get away from them. Don't be mad at them. Make a decision today in your heart that one day I'm going to say thank you to that unfair situation. One day I'm going to be grateful for what happened because it's going to produce something in me that I would have never have gotten had I not gone through it. There's a scripture that I want to share with you. Romans 8 and 18 in the Amplified Bible. It says, "For I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us." The stuff that you have walked through is nothing compared to the glory of God that's going to be shown through you. And it's going to come because of the suffering that you've walked through, because of the unfair things that you have walked through. And this is what I believe, that the wounds of your past are medicine for someone else's future. We ain't walking through stuff just for ourselves. We're not walking through stuff just so I can get through it. It's so I can help somebody else get through it. Jesus didn't have that unfair day for himself. That was for us. Whatever you have walked through, heal, get through it. Hold on to God, walk it out, because one day someone is going to need that testimony to walk through what they're going through. The last time that I stood on this stage was 2 years ago, 2015, and I spoke on identity. And after that, situations came and smacked me in the face. I mean, try to take us a step. And I really honestly, when I was walking through those things, never thought I'd ever be up here again. Because the depression and the fear and the sadness that I was going through was so hurtful and so weighty that I just didn't know, am I going to be used again? Not just for this stage, but anything. Can God use me? I'm jacked up and broken and messed up. But I promise you, from taking day by day and step by step and saying, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to be real and authentic. And no, that's not who I am. Day by day, as I walked that out and I held on to my relationship with God, God put a little muscle back in me. It's like I was lifting some weights. And I really believe that this lesson, this, what I'm saying to you today, is something that I'm walking out in my own life. I believe it. I believe that if you give those unfair situations to God, that he can heal you and redeem you. And not only that, but he can give you new gifts and new fruits that you never had before until you walk this out. Don't be mad at what happened. Be grateful. Be grateful. God can use it all. God can use every ounce of it.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.